Okay. So today we're going to do studios 29 and 30. One of them is Matzah Bor L'Cheish Otevakaten, and one of them is Shoshim Marjino Aser Ba'ana. And we'll try again to focus on the main points, and we won't necessarily get all the details. You should have to understand all the details when we're trying to outline the shiur. A lot of times it helps just to leave out some of the side points and work with the detail, work with the main parts of the sugya. And obviously, if anyone has any questions, clarifications, there aren't a lot of people here, so if you guys have questions, then it's for you. So you don't need to like feel embarrassed that other people are, you know, could be upset at you. Okay, so the first sugya is Matzah Bor L'Cheish Otevakaten. The bulk of the sugya was really just asking a stira between the Gemara in Beis and the Gemara in Bava Metzia, and giving. I think we gave 8 different answers, and some of them were seemed more valid than others. So we're going to go through the stira and just give all 8 answers, and that should be the first sugya. So the stira was that the Gemara in Beis and Beis quotes a din that says if someone covers a boar, that's good enough to withhold oxen falling into it, but it's not strong enough to withhold camels. And there are a lot of camels. The camels are shchichi. So we want to know what happens if, not that a camel falls into it, because if a camel falls into it, for sure you'd be chayiv, because your covering is not sufficient to block out the camels. But let's say it gets worm-eaten, and therefore it gets weaker, and the oxen fall into it. So the Gemara says, do we say migo that you would have been chayiv for a camel falling in? So we'll say that you're chayiv for the oxen falling in. And the Gemara concludes that no, we would not say that migo. And the Gemara has a similar case. If instead of camels and oxen, let's say you made it strong enough for an ox to, that an ox walking during the day would not be able to fall in, but it was not strong enough that the ox at night would preventing an ox at night to fall in, because animals walking at night are more prone to fall into it because they're not as careful. And so you made it strong enough for the night, for the daytime, but not the nighttime. And then what happens, an ox during the day falls into it. So again, do we say this migo, that migo you would have been chayiv if an ox fell in that night? Do we say that you're chayiv for the ox falling in during the day? And the stira, or the question that the Rishonim ask, is this seems very, very similar to another case we have called Tchilas B'Pshia V'Sofa B'Ones. The main one is in Bava Metzia, Daf Mem Beis, where someone is given money to watch for his friend, and he puts him in a Shreifa de Orbini, which is, I think, translated as a cot of bulrushes. I don't really know what that means, but he puts it in some sort of birdhouse. And this birdhouse is sufficient guarding for robbers, because no one's going to take it from the birdhouse, but it's not sufficient for fires, because a fire could start. And what happens? Not that the fire burns it, because that's not what happens, even though that's what would seem more likely, but a robber comes and takes it. So there the Gemara says, Tchilas b'pshia, your act started out as pshia, because you were poshe with regards to the fire. The fire could have burned it, because your shmira is not sufficient enough. But sofa b'onis. In the end, an onis happened, a robber took it, and this was sufficient shmira for robbers. And we conclude, Tchilas b'pshia v'sofa b'onis chayev. So why in our Gemara, which seems to be a case of Tchilas b'pshia v'sofa b'onis, pshia with regards to camels, onis with regards to oxen, do we say you're pater? But the other case in Bava Metzia, Tchilas b'pshia v'sofa b'onis is going to be chayev, and the Gemara doesn't call our case Tchilas b'pshia v'sofa b'onis, it calls it this migo. So what's the difference, if any, between these two cases, and why would that difference render a different psak halacha? So we gave 8 answers to this, and we'll try to go through them one by one. The first answer is given by the Baal Ma'or, who says that you're right, this rule of Tchilas b'pshia v'sofa b'onis, but we don't say that rule by Bor. Bor, we know we're Makel in general. Bor is Pater and Kalim. Bor is Pater and Psuim Mekdashin. And since Bor is Makel, we don't have the rule of Tchilas b'pshia v'sofa b'onis. That's our case is Pater, and the case of B'Metzia is Chayev. Answer number 1, very straightforward. Answer number 2, given by the Baal Ma'or, which he rejects, it's similar to answer 1. He says, you're right, there's a rule of Tchilas b'pshia v'sofa b'onis, but it doesn't apply not just to Bor, but it doesn't apply to anything that's a miut b'shmirasin. Anything which the Torah is makel with regards to your shmira, so Bor, Shein v'regel, and Eish, the Gemara Nun Hayim at Beis tells us that in all those, the miut b'shmirasin, so all those cases don't have the rule of Tchilas b'pshia v'sofa b'onis. So similar to the first answer, just more expansive. And then the Baal Ma'or asks 2 questions on this malach, and it seems to reject it. Question number 1, we know Tchilas b'pshia v'sofa b'onis applies to a dog jumping off a roof, that if it's a pshia for the dog jumping off, but instead it falls off, or it might be the opposite case, I forgot. But b'shiur for one thing, and ones for the other thing, and the dog falls off the roof, we do say tchus b'shiur for some ones, and that's the case of rego. And similarly with the animal in the cabbage patch, it's b'shiur with regards to shein, the animal eating the fruits, but instead what happens? So for b'ones, that meleda happens. The animal gives birth and ruins the crops. And over there we say tchlas b'shiyav, so b'ones, that's the case of shein. So although the Baal Ma'or gave his more expansive limitation of the rule tchlas b'shiyav, so for b'ones, and included the other case of miyatam b'shmurasan, it seems to be that that's not true. And we do in fact say tchlas b'shiyav, so b'ones, for shein v'rego. So that's answer number two, similar to answer number one, but a little bit different, and the Baal Ma'or rejects it. Answer number three is given by the Rashba. In order to say, in the name of the Ravid, I think, in order to say tchlas b'shiyav v'sofa ba'ones chayev, what's the reason that you're chayev? The p'shia. So the p'shia has to be a really gezunta p'shia. It has to be something that you're actually negligent in. But in our case, it's not such a good p'shia. Why not? Because camels are not so common. The thing which you were poshea for is that camels might fall into the boar, but in our Gemara, it's not so common for camels to be walking around. And therefore, since the pshia is not such a gross pshia, it's not such a large pshia, intense pshia, therefore we don't say tchas pshia v'sof b'ones chayev. And the obvious question on this Rashba is, the Gemara says we are talking about a case where it's shchichi gemalim. So I guess you have to say something like, it's shchichi enough that we might say the migo, but not shchichi enough that we'd say tchas pshia v'sof b'ones. That's the Rashba. Answer number three. And that there's a pagam in the level of pshia. Answer number four is given by the Shilti Giborim, also says that there's a pagam in the pshia. A normal tchilas of pshia of b'onis is chayiv if there's an intense pshia, but here the pshia is not so intense. Why not? So he doesn't say like the Rashba that camels are not so common, because it seems to go against the Gemara, but he says that the mazik was there watching and making sure no camels came into his boar, and therefore it wasn't such a strong pshia. And the question on this pshat is the Gemara just didn't say that. It seems to be the main part of the pshat is that the main part of the Gemara, which makes it distinct from the Gemara in Bava Metzia Mem Beis, it's chas b'shiyav v'sof b'ones, that the mazik is sitting and watching his boar, making sure camels don't fall in, but that's completely missing from the Gemara. So we have the first two answers, the Baal Ma'or, saying that yes, chas b'shiyav v'sof b'ones is generally the rule, but it doesn't apply to boar, or doesn't apply to other things in addition to boar. But he rejected that. And the next two answers given by the Rashi and the Shilti Giborim said that tchlas b'shiya v'sof b'ones is only applicable when the p'shia is a very intense p'shia. Yeah?
I think the Rambam normally holds that we say that a shmira for a boar, like you have to shmira for a boar basically.
Yeah.
That's normal shmira. Then, according to Rambam, how does that like shit over here?
With the Shilti Giborim?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Ramban himself gives a different answer that we'll see later. But I guess maybe the Shulchan Aruch doesn't hold to that Ramban. But we'll see the Ramban's answer. Right, but I guess according to the Shulchan Aruch, it seems to be a pretty strange Havamina even. Why would we say you're chayv? You're sitting there watching the boar. I guess since the covering wasn't good enough, then that's not going to be good. Okay, so answer number five is the Me'iri. And he says that Tchilas B'Shiyah V'Sofa Be'ones. So the previous answers were saying that normally it's chayiv because you need a specific pshia, and which you don't have here. So the Me'iri says you need a specific ones. In order for tchlas b'shiyav v'sof b'ones to be chayiv, it has to be an ones that's ola al hadas. It has to be, even though it's ones, it's out of your control, but something which you could possibly think of. And the Me'iri says that in this case, the ones of termites or bugs eating this kisoy and then oxen falling in is something that's totally not relevant and should not even enter your mind to think of, and since it's such a far out ones, we don't say it's chlas b'shiyah v'sof ones chayev. In fact, you say the migo and you're going to be pater. That's answer number five of the Me'iri. Answer number six is given by the Ravid. The Ravid says, we have like three answers to the Ravid here. I'm not sure like what Ravid, who's like, one's the name of the Ravid, one's actually they're different Ravids, so whatever, don't ask questions on like steers and the Ravid. But this answer to the Ravid says tchlas b'shiyah v'sof b'ones is only chayiv in a very specific case. It's chayiv when the item that would have been damaged in the pshia is the same item that is damaged in the ones. For example, we have the case where the person's watching his friend's coins. So, and he puts it in the tzrei for the orbani. The case of pshia is where a fire breaks out. So in that hypothetical case of Pshia, which doesn't actually happen, but in the case of Pshia, what happens? The coins get damaged. Similarly, in the case of the Ones, which does actually happen, that a robber takes the coins, what gets damaged? The coins. So since the item that's being damaged in the case of Pshia and Ones are the same item, therefore we're going to say Tchas of Pshia v'Sofo Ones Chayev, because it shows there's a little bit of a relationship between the Pshia and the Ones. But in our case, the Pshia is on camels and the Ones is on oxen. Therefore there's no connection at all to the Pshia and the Ones, and therefore you're not going to be Chayev. Because the whole reason Tchas of Pshia v'Sofo Ones is Chayev, and why should it be Chayev? And Ones happened. At the end of the day, you guarded it, and something out of your control happened, so you should be patur. There's a certain connection between the Pshia and the Ones, but here that connection breaks down, because it's not even the same animal that's being damaged. The Pshia was camels, this is oxen. And the question on this answer derived is, one of the cases, we didn't just have camels and oxen, one of the migos, potential migos, was Yomam Valaila, that since it would have been Pshia if it fell in that night, so, and Ones happens during the day, maybe we should say that's going to be Chayev. And the Ravid's answer was that the reason we don't apply Tchas of Pshia v'Sofo Ones is that we're dealing with two different items being damaged. So I guess you have to say for the Ravid that an animal being damaged in the day is considered a different animal than an animal being damaged at night, but that's a little bit dachuk. Maybe that's why people don't go along the lines of the Ravid. The seventh answer, which is the one we focused the most time on, was the Ramban in the Machamas. He also, like the Ravid, says that Chilas of Pshia v'Sofo Ones is Chayev because of a connection between the Pshia and the Ones, and here that connection breaks down. But how is it different than the Ravid? He gives a different connection. He says the reason why you're Chayev in general for the Ones is that the Ones only came about Machmas HaPshia. This Ones only happened because you did something which could have lent itself to be Pshia. For example, back to the case of the coins, you brought the coins into the Treif of the Orvani, which could have been Pshia, which was Pshia for Eish and Ones for robbers, but the only reason it was stolen by robbers was because you brought it into the situation where it could have been Pshia. The only reason it was stolen by robbers is because you brought it to the Treif of the Orvani. That's why the robbers took it. They took it from the Treif of the Orvani. That's where the coins were. So therefore, the Ones over there is what we call Machmas HaPshia. It only came about because you put the item into a Pshia situation. But here, Ramban says, the Ones is not Machmas HaPshia. In the case of the camel, the camel's falling in and the oxen falling in, the fact that the oxen fell in had nothing to do with the camels. Even if the kisor was strong enough for camels, it still would have been termite-eaten. It still would have been eaten by the bugs and the ox would have fallen in. The fact that you made this kisor and you made this boar in a way that was Pshia for Gamal had nothing to do with what actually happened. The Pshia has nothing to do with what happened in the end. The Ones would have happened regardless of what you did, regardless of whether you put it into a situation of Pshia. Again, in other words, in the case of the Evav Metzia, the Ones only happens because you put it into a situation of Pshia. The Ones of being stolen from the Treif of the Orvani only happened because you put it in the Treif of the Orvani in the first place. But here, the oxen falling in would have happened regardless of whether your thing was, you were poshe or not for the camels. And we discussed this answer a little bit. We went in a little bit deeper because it seemed to go against the Gemara. There's another Gemara about Messiah, Daf Lamed Vav and Beis, that also seems to be a case of Tchilas B'Shia V'Sofo Ones. And someone's watching an animal, and he leaves the door open, and the animal goes and wanders into an agam, a swamp, a marsh, a field, whatever, a meadow, and then it dies. So what happens there? It seems to be a straight case of Tchilas B'Shia, that poshe, that the animal could have walked out. But at the end, it was Ones that it was killed. So Abaye says, you're Chayev. And even according to the opinions that Tchilas B'Shia V'Sofo Ones is Pater, here you're still going to be Chayev because Avira Da'ara Katle. Here, there's a connection between the Pshia and the Ones. What could be Medayik from Abaye? That Abaye holds that even according to the one who holds Tchilas B'Shia V'Sofo Ones is Pater, you're still going to be Chayev here because there's a connection between the Pshia and the Ones. Which means that according to, let's say you didn't have this connection between the Pshia and the Ones, you'd still be Chayev according to Man D'Amar Tchilas B'Shia V'Sofo Ones, Chayev. So Abaye does not hold like the Ramban. The Ramban holds that you're only Chayev for Tchilas B'Shia V'Sofo Ones when there's a connection between the Pshia and the Ones. And Abaye says, since there's a connection between Pshia and Ones in this case, that's why you're chayav for the one who says for the man that amar tchas b'shiyah b'sevu ones pater. Meaning, even the one who said normally holds your pater would say you're chayav because of the connection between the pshia and the ones. But the one who says you're chayav, man that amar tchas b'shiyah b'sevu ones chayav, he doesn't care about the connection between the pshia and the ones. He would say you're chayav regardless. That's shita sabaye. Rava says no, the exact opposite. You're pater in this case, and even according to the man that amar tchas b'shiyah b'sevu ones chayav, you're still pater because malach hamavet malihacha malihasam. Since it died by the hands of the malach hamavet, then Rava is saying it would have happened anywhere. It would have happened whether it was in your backyard, it would have happened whether it ran away to the swamp. So what's Rava holding? Rava is saying, even according to Mount Amr Tchas B'shiv Sub Ones Chayev, you're still pater here because there's no connection between the Pshia and the Ones. Whether you were poshe or not, whether it went out to the swamp, it still would have died by the hands of the malach hamavet. So Rava seems to be in line with this Ramban, that Chas B'shiv Sub Ones Chayev is only when there's a connection between the Pshia and the Ones. And one more Gemara, which seemed to be a little problematic for the Ramban. Gemara in Bab Metziah, Tzadi Gimel, Singamon Aleph, says that if someone's watching a flock of sheep, and he goes into the city and leaves his flock when he's not supposed to, and in the end, it gets eaten. So what does the Gemara say? Tchilasa b'pshia. It gets eaten by an ari, by a lion. So the Gemara says, Tchilasa b'pshia. It started out as pshia because he left his flock unattended. Sofa b'ones. In the end, the lion came and ate his flock. What could he have done? He couldn't have stopped the lion. The lion would have done nothing. The lion was completely beyond his control. So, but even though the lion was an ones, it started out as pshia, so you're going to be chayev. Tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa b'ones chayev. So this usage, this application of Tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa b'ones chayev seems to go against the Ramban. Because here, there's no connection between the pshia and the ones. Whether the guy was poshea and left to the city, or not, the lion still would have come and eaten his flock. There's nothing he could have done. Yet still, the Gemara uses Tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa b'ones chayev, which is against the Ramban, because the Ramban says to only use it when there's a connection between the pshia and the ones. And here there's no connection, because regardless of whether he was poshea, regardless of whether he went to the city, or if he stayed with his flock, it would have been killed by the lions. So how do we answer this? So we can answer this in two ways. Either the we could answer like the Rif, and the Rif says, he accepts the assumption in the question. He says, yeah, you're right, we are using an inappropriate usage of Tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa b'ones chayev according to the Ramban, but it's Shita Sabaye, and we prove from Bab Metziah Daf Lamed Vav that Abaye doesn't hold of the way that the Ramban says Tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa b'ones chayev works. So since Abaye doesn't hold of this Ramban does not defer with Abaye, and Abaye is the one speaking on Gemara and Tzadi Gimel, so the Ramban could explain this Gemara and say, yeah, this Gemara is like Shita Sabaye, that's not how we paskin. Or you could reject the assumption of the question. You could say, why are you saying that this is a case of Tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa b'ones chayev where there was no connection between the pshia and the ones? What are you talking about? This ones is a lion. You're telling me that would have happened regardless whether I was with my flock, whether I went to the city, the lions would have come and eaten it. It's not true. If you were there with your flock, the lions maybe wouldn't have come in the first place, or you probably wouldn't have been able to overpower it, but maybe you could have grouped together with some other people, and therefore the pshia does impact the ones. The only reason the ones of the lions was able to happen was because you left the city. So therefore the Ramban is still able to read this Gemara, is not in violation of his principle, but at the end of the day, the Ramban holds, Tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa b'ones chayev is only when the ones is happening because of the pshia, and there's this connection between the pshia and the ones. And that's going to apply in a regular case of Shefet Orvanin, but doesn't apply to our Gemara of the Gemal and the Oxen. And the last pshat number 8, was given by the Ravid on the Rambam, which is the Ravid that we're familiar with, who says that, yeah, you're right, it's the same exact case. Don't try to give me distinctions, don't try to give me okimtas, there was a real pshia, not a good pshia, not a good ones, not a connection between the pshia and the ones. No, this is a totally good candidate for tchilas v'pshia v'sof v'ones chayev, but we know that that's a machlokas. We happen to pass Tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa b'ones chayev, but this Gemara was according to the other man de Amar that Tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa b'ones is pater, and therefore it's not a stira. So those are the 6 answers that we gave for Tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa 8 answers, not 6. Yeah, Tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa b'ones chayev. How normally we say chayev, and in our Gemara we use amigo, and we say pater, or we attempt to use amigo and we say pater in the end. And what's the difference? either it's chutz b'shiva, so it doesn't apply to cases of bor, or it doesn't apply when the p'shiva is lacking, when the onis is lacking, when there's no connection between the two, or the raivet that they're really, this really is a good candidate, it's just according to the other man da'aman. So that was the first sugya, pretty straightforward. The second sugya is a little bit more complicated, but I think we could get through it. The second sugya is Shorshning Mardino Aser Behana. And it's really broken down, to get the broad overview, it's broken down into three parts. There are three parts to this sugya. Part number one is the machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and others about whether there's an Isser Hana'a after, while the animal's alive, or it only comes once the animal's dead. And then we're going to have some riyas either way. That's part number one. Part number two is, do you own Isure Hana'a? If something's Aser Behana'a, do you own it? That's part number two. And part number three is answering the Truma Sakharis question with the three Gemaras of being done the Dine Mamonos after you already done Dine Nefashos, if there was already Hefker. So, just to outline, if we have those three parts, we'll be able to know where we are in the Sugya, and hopefully everything will be much clearer. So, part number one, the Machlokes. We know that something, the Gemara in Mem Dalad, Mem Aleph, and Mem Dalad and Beis, / Mem Hay, Mem Aleph, tells us that We already know that an ox, a shor haniskal, is aser b'hana. We know that a shor haniskal, you can't eat it, because it's not shechted, the ox is not shechted, it's stoned, and therefore if it's stoned, that's not a valid method of shechita, so you wouldn't be able to eat it. So why does the Pasuk say, Le'yachlas Basaro? Why does the Pasuk say that you can't eat it? It must be that the Pasuk is teaching us, even if you shechted it, then you still won't be able to eat it. Okay? So, how do we know that even, that not just that you can't eat it, even if it's shechted, but how do you know that it's totally Aser B'ana? We know this from the Pasuk of Baal HaShor HaNaki. The Baal HaShor HaNaki teaches that the Shor HaNiskal is totally Aser B'ana. And the Pasha Pshat, when does this Isra Hana kick in? At the Gemar Din. Once it's the Gemar Din, it becomes a Shor Niskal, then it's totally Aser B'ana. You can't receive any benefit from it. That's the standard approach. Rabbeinu Tam says no. There's a rule, Ein Isra Mechaim, that the animal can't be Aser B'ana while it's alive. Rather, it's only Aser B'ana once it dies. So, this Rabbeinu Tam seems to go against the simple reading of our Gemara. Because our Gemara seems to say once this Gemara did it's Aser B'ana, and there are a few other Gemaras which will seem to go against Rabbeinu Tam, but he's going to be able to get out of them with a similar approach. Gemara number one, Kedushin and Zayin Amad Beis, is trying to figure out, there are two birds for Mitzurah. One is Mushlachas, and one is Shechted. One is sent, and one is Shechted. And we know that one of them is Aser B'ana. So the Gemara is trying to figure out which one is Aser B'ana, the one that you send away or the one that you have to kill. The Gemara says it must be the one you have to kill, because we never see that Bali Chaim are Aser B'ana while they're alive. We never see live animals Aser B'ana, so it must be the one that's Aser B'ana is the one that you kill. And the Gemara says, wait a second, we do know an animal that's Aser B'ana even while it's alive, a Shor HaNiskal. So that seems to go totally against Rabbeinu Tam, and saying that's Aser B'ana even while it's alive. So Rabbeinu Tam would explain and say, now, what do we mean when we say it's Aser B'ana when it's alive? We mean it's Aser B'ana when you shecht it. That once it's a Gemar Din, it's going to be Aser when you shecht it, and therefore when you shecht it, you won't be able to use it for anything. A little bit of a tricky read, but that's what he's forced to say. And a similar question we have is the Gemara in Erech and Dav Zayin. It's trying to figure out whether you could use hair of a Shor HaNiskal, hair of something that's Aser B'ana, and we say, no, you can't use the hair of a Shor HaNiskal, because a woman's hair is only Aser Mimisa, is Aser when she dies, but a Shor HaNiskal's hair is Aser Misha Nigmar Dino. It's Nigmar Dino Aser B'ana. So again, it seems to go totally against Rabbeinu Tam. Now, once there's a Gemar Din, it's Aser B'ana, and Rabbeinu Tam would have the same response, that what do we mean when we say it's Aser B'ana after Gemar Din? After Gemar Din, it can become Aser B'ana once you shecht it. So we have the Machlokas. When does a Shor HaNiskal become Aser B'ana? Rabbeinu Tam, once it's dead. Conventional wisdom, once it's a Gemar Din. Two Gemaras seem to go like Rabbeinu Tam. Three Gemaras if you can't have a Gemara. And he says all of them really mean what I was saying, that only Aser B'ana once you kill it. Rabbeinu Tam does have one proof. His proof is from Perek Merubah. The Gemara in Merubah on Daf Ayin Aleph quotes a Braisa that says that if you steal a shor haniskal and shecht it or sell it, or if you steal a shor haniskal and shecht it, then it's chayiv dala vehe. You're going to pay 4 or 5 times. You know that in general, if you steal something and you shecht it or sell it, you have to pay 4 or 5 times the amount. We're discussing the sugya of shor haniskal nigmar dino atzer ba'ana, that when an ox is condemned to be killed, it's going to be asr ba'ana, you can't derive any benefit from it, and we want to know when is that isr hana going to take place. So most people hold that we're doing a quick recap for some newcomers. So most Rishonim hold that the isr hana takes place right as the gmar din, right when you have a gmar din, the ox sentenced to be killed, it's asr ba'ana, you can't derive any benefit from it. Rabbeinu Tam says that it's only usher once it's dead. That ain't isher mechayim, that when the ox is alive, it's not usher bana. You could take a ride on it, you could use it, you could plow your field with it, you just can't use it after it's killed. And we brought a couple of rides against Rabbeinu Tam, which seemed to imply that the ox is usher bana even once it's a gemar din. And he said, no, don't read those gemaras like that, it really means once it's a gemar din. If you shecht it, then it's going to be usher bana. We have one raya for Rabbeinu Tam, and he says there's a gemara in Meruba. We know that in general, if you steal something and then shecht it or sell it, you're chayev 4 or 5 times. If you just steal it and you get caught, you're chayev kefil. But if you tavach u'machar, you're chayev 4 or 5 times, depending on whether it's a shor or a seh. So the gemara quotes a brisa that says, and if you steal a shor haniskal and you're tavach u'machar and you shecht it, then you're going to be chayev arba v'chamisha. So the Rabbeinu Tam says this Gemara is going to help him prove that Yishur HaNiskal is only Asur Ba'ana once it's killed. Why is that? Because Reish Lakish in that Gemara says there's a very interesting rule with regards to Arba V'Chamisha. We know that there are two things, Tvicha and Mechira, that can engender a Chiyav of 4 or 5 times, either if you shech the animal or if you sell it to someone else. So Reish Lakish says in order to be Chayav 4 or 5 times for shechting the animal, you also have to have the ability to sell it. He says, "Kol she'ena b'tvicha, ena b'mechira." That if you're not able to shecht it, you're not able to sell it either. If you're not able to sell it, then you're not able. Then shechting it, if you're not going to get 4 or 5 times, if you're not able to shecht it and get this penalty, then you're not going to be able to sell it, and vice versa. That you have to be able to do both things to this animal in order to be chayev 4 or 5 times. How does that apply here? Because we know from the Gemara and Daf Mem Dalid, Amad Beis, Mem Hem and Aleph, that you're not allowed to sell a Shor HaNiskal that had a Gemar Din. Therefore, since you're not allowed to sell the Shor HaNiskal, according to Reish Lakish's rule, it's Eino Ben Mechira. You're not able to sell a Shor HaNiskal, and therefore, even if you shechted it, it should not be Chayiv for Arba V'Chamisha. Again, Reish Lakish says that you're only Chayiv for Arba V'Chamisha if you could both sell it and shecht it. But in this case, when you shechted it, why would the Gemara be discussing whether you're chayev or not? It's very simple. Since you can't sell it, the fact that you can't sell it and be chayev 4 or 5 times, so you won't be able to shecht and be chayev 4 or 5 times. So what is Rabbeinu Tam saying? It must be that while the animal is alive, you are allowed to sell it. And since you are allowed to sell the animal while it's alive, when you shecht it, you'll be chayev 4 or 5 times. Because Reish Lakish holds, you need to be able to do both acts of Tvicha and Mechira in order to be Chayev for one of them, for the Arba V'Chamisha. So in this case, you steal the ox that's alive, and then you shecht it. So it must be that you're allowed to sell it, even Mechayim, because if you weren't allowed to sell it, then there would be no Chiyav Arba V'Chamisha for shechting it. That's the Raya of Rabbeinu Tam. And he says it must be that the Chiyav only starts after the death of the animal, because if it started earlier, it would be Eino B'Mechira, and once it's Eino B'Mechira, it's Eino B'Tvicha either. That would be against the Brisa and Meruba. But there's one glaring question on Rabbeinu Tam, which is the Gemara Daf Mem Dalet that we quote. The Gemara says straight out, once you sell it, or once there's a Gemara Din on the Shor HaNiskal, Mecharo Eino Machor, that the sale is invalid. So how does Rabbeinu Tam say that you're able to sell the animal, while it's alive, if the Brisa says Mechara Eino Machar? So Rabbeinu Tam gives two answers to this question. One of them, which he's still able to hold his raya, but you have to read the Gemara a little differently. And the other one, he has a more conventional reading of the Gemara, but it ruins his raya. What are the two answers? How does he say that you're allowed to sell it? if the Brisa says against that way. So he says you have to read the words Mechar Eino Machor differently. When the Gemara says Mechar Eino Machor, when the Brisa says that it's an invalid sale, it doesn't mean that the sale does not go through. It doesn't mean that the sale is completely batel and cancelled, and that we won't view it as a valid sale in halacha. It means that the person who acquires the animal is not going to be able to keep it for a long time because Beis Din is going to take it from him and kill it. It doesn't mean that the sale is invalid. It just means that you won't be able to keep your sale for a while. And therefore, you are allowed to sell it. And we do have Araya from the Gemara and Meruba. The second answer that he gives is more literal, and he says, yeah, you're right, Mechar Eino Machor means you're not allowed to sell it. If he holds it's Mutter Behana, why can't you sell it? Because Rabbeinu Tam Shita is that it's Mutter Behana until it's killed, so why aren't you allowed to sell it? So it must be that since Beis Din has a certain dominion over this animal, that since Beis Din has the power that it's going to kill it, you don't have the rights to sell it. But you do still have a heter hana. You are allowed to derive benefit from this animal. And that answers the question of Amdalid, but it makes his raya fall away. Because his whole proof from the Gemara Meruba was that the sale is valid. The sale is valid, so you are yeshnu b'tvicha, and then yeshnu b'mechira, and therefore you could have the braisa saying that if you shech the shor haniskal, you're chayv abad v'chamisha. But here, in this defense, the Gemara of Amdalid, he says it would not be a valid sale, and then he'd end up with the same question that he was asking against all the people he was arguing with. So, again, to wrap up the first part of the sugya, we have Machlokas, Rabbeinu Tam versus others. Rabbeinu Tam says, you're chayiv, it's aser b'ana only once the animal's dead, while others say, it's aser b'ana once there's a gemar din. We had two rayas that went against Rabbeinu Tam, and seemed to say that the iser applies once there's a gemar din. And Rabbeinu Tam had to read those gemars and say, once there's a gemar din, it's going to be aser when you shecht it. And we have one proof of the Rabbeinu Tam. Again, just to recap the proof, the Gemara in Meruba says that there's a chiyuv of tvicha. If you shecht a shor haniskal, you're going to be chayv arba v'chamisha. But Reish Lakish holds, im eino b'mechira, eino b'tvicha, that in order to be chayv four or five times, you have to have both the ability to sell the animal and the ability to shecht the animal. But in the case of the shor haniskal, if you say that you can't sell it while the animal's alive, it's eino b'mechira, you're not able to sell it, and therefore, according to Reish Lakish, it's eino b'tvicha, that even if you shecht the animal, you're also not chayv four or five times. So why would the Braisa say that you're chayv for shechting it? It must be that it is yeshnu b'mechira, you are able to sell it, even while the animal's alive, and since it's yeshnu b'mechira, it's yeshnu b'tvicha, and it's chayv arba v'chamisha for shechting the animal. And that was the raya of Rabbeinu Tam. Now you are allowed to sell the animal while the animal is alive, and it went against the Gemara and Dafna and Dalav and Beis, and he read that in two ways. Either Mechar Eino Machor didn't really mean what we think it meant, and it just means that the sale is not going to be good for the lokech, for the buyer, because he's going to be taken from him, but it's still a valid sale. Or he holds that really it is an invalid sale, like we thought originally, and he'd be left off with the same question he was asking on everyone else, and he'd have to say that even though it's an invalid sale, you're still allowed to get Mutter Hana. That's part one of the sugya. So now we move to part two of the sugya of can you own Isure Hana? The Gemara Daf Mem Daled Amud Beis, which we just quoted again and again, says Nigmar Dino Mechar Eino Machar. Once it's a Gemar Din, you can't sell it. What's the simple explanation? The simple explanation is it's Aser Be'ana, like we said, without saying the Rabbeinu Tam. It's Aser Be'ana, and since it's Aser Be'ana, you don't own it, and since you don't own it, you can't sell it. That's a simple understanding. We have to question this idea of whether that's true that you really don't that it's true that you don't own Isurei Hana. So the sugya starts on the Gemara in Pesachim, Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Hei, which says that an Esrog Shel Orla is Pasal, and we want to know why. So there's a Machlokas Ravid and Ritva. The Ravid says since the Esrog Shel Orla is Aser Behana, you can't derive any benefit from it. Therefore, you don't own it, and it doesn't fulfill the requirement of Lachem. We know that all the Arbamim have to be Lachem, they have to belong to you. But if it's Aser Be'ana, you can't own it, it doesn't belong to you. The Ritva says, no, that's not why you can't use an Esrog Shel Orla. Why is an Esrog Shel Orla possible? Because it's Ta'un Sreifa. The Esrog has to be burned. And since the Esrog has to be burned, it doesn't have a shear. It's what's called Kisutei Mechta Shirei. It doesn't have a valid shear for Esrog. And once it doesn't have a shira, you're not allowed to use it. But the Ritva fundamentally holds that you are able to own Isurei Hana'a, just that there's this external din of Kisusei Mechtes Shirei and Ta'un Sreifa, which means that you won't be able to fulfill your Chiv of Esrog. But really, you can own Isurei Hana'a, and that's the big machlok between the Ravid and the Ritva. There's another Ritva which seems to contradict this one. The Ritva in Kedushin says, the Mishnah in Kedushin says that you can't use Isurei Hana'a as Kedushin, and we want to know why that is so. Why? Because even though these Isurei Hana'a have to be burned, step back, you can't use Isurei Hana'a for Kedushin because, we'll go with the reason that it's not a Shava Pruta. It's not worth a Pruta. So the Rishonim asks, even if it's not a Shava Pruta right now, you could burn it, and if you burn the Isurei Hana'a, the ashes are Mutter Behana'a, and the ashes are worth Shava Pruta. So why can't you use the ashes, or why can't you use this Isurei Hana'a because you're able to use the ashes which are Mutter Behana'a and still worth a Pruta? So we give two answers to this. Tosfos says we're talking about something that's worth. The Isurei Hana'a itself is only worth exactly a Shava Pruta, and therefore if you burned it and tried to use the ashes would be worth less than a Shava Pruta. So therefore you would not be able to use that way to be Mekadesh and Isha. While the Ritva says, no, you could say we're even talking about an Isurei Hana'a that's worth much more than a Shava Pruta, but when you burn the ashes, even though they're Mutter Behana'a, they attain the same status that the Isurei Hana'a itself had, namely that you don't own it. Just like you didn't own the actual Isurei Hana'a, so too you don't own the ashes. Even though the ashes are Mutter Behana'a, you don't own it. But what does the Ritva say? The Ritva says that you don't own Isurei Hana'a, which is against the previous Ritva that we saw, who said that you fundamentally do own Isurei Hana'a, and the only reason the Esrog Shel Orla was possible was because of Kisim Echdeshiri and Ta'un Sreifa. So, just to take away from this point is that we have this machlokes between the Ravid and the Ritva. The Ravid says you can't own Isurei Hana'a, and the Ritva says you can. So the Ktos asks the question, according to the Ritva that you can own Isurei Hana'a, why does our Gemara say Nigmar Dino Mechar Eino Machar? I understand according to the Ravid. Once it's Gemara Din, it's Asur Hana'a, you don't own it anymore. If you don't own it, you obviously can't sell it. But according to the Ritva, why can't you sell it? So the Ktos says that In this case of Isurei Hana'a, it's not that you don't, you do own it. You do own the Isurei Hana'a, but why can't you sell it? Because it's in a special status of shelo v'she'ena b'rishuso. It's yours, but it's not in your possession. And therefore, since it's shelo v'she'ena b'rishuso, since it's not in your rishus, you're not able to sell it. Where do we see a model of something not being able to your rishus inhibiting your ability to sell it? So he quotes the Gemara in Bab Metzia Daf Zayin, and also comes up in Merubah, the famous sin of Rabbi Yochanan. Gazav lunas yeshu habaylan. If a person steals something and the owners do not give up hope, so shneim ein yicholim lahakdish. Neither of them are able to make this item hakdish. Zel afish ein shelo, v'zel afish ein b'rishuso. Neither the gazlan, the guy who stole the item, nor the nigzal, the guy who it was stolen from, can give this item to hakdish. One person because it's not his, the gazlan, and one person because it's not his rishus, the nigzal. The nigzal doesn't have rishus over it. So we see, the Ktos says, just like the nigzal has no rishus over this item that was stolen from him, and therefore he can't make it hektish, so too, according to the Ritva, a guy who owned Isurei Hana'a has no rishus over it. A guy who owns Isurei Hana'a has no rishus, and therefore he's not able to sell it. So the Ritva, the Ktos is making two massive assumptions here in this connection and bringing this model over. Number one is that hektish is the same thing as mechira, right? He's assuming that just like the guy who's Eino Bershuso can't make the item hektish, so too in Isurei Hana'a, the person who's Eino Bershuso can't sell it. That's assumption number one. And assumption number two is this connection between Isurei Hana'a and gazlan, that the gzela is the same status as the gzela being Eino Rishus is going to be the same status as the Isurei Hana'a being Eino Rishus. How is he able to make those connections? Number one, from Hektish to Mechira, and number two, from Gzela to our case of Isurei Hana'a. So we'll go through each of those, and then that will conclude part two of the Sugya. So first, let's analyze the connection between Mechira and Hektish. So there's a machlokes on that Gemara. In the case of the Gazlan, when someone steals it, we said like neither of them can make it Hektish. So does the same thing apply to selling it? Is it a specific din by hektish that you can't be makdish it? Or maybe you can't do anything with it and even you can't sell it? And that's the machlokas between Tosfos and the Rashba. Tosfos says, k'shem she'ein yachol lahakdish, kach ein yachol limkor. Just like you can't make it hektish, so too you can't sell it. While the Rashba says, no, it's a specific din by hektish, but you really would be able to sell it. So the Ktos, in making the assumption that hektish, the same thing as mechira, must go like this tosfos, and he must say that just like the person who's ena bershuso can't be mocked or something, so too he can't sell it. That's the first assumption. The second assumption is about the connection between gzela and the iser hana. Who says that the shelo bershus of the gzela is going to carry over, of the guy who was stolen from, is going to carry over to the ena bershuso of the iser hana? And for this, we need to look at the machlokas Ramban and Balam Or about why you're ena bershuso in general. In this case, the Gazlan, when the Nigzal has this item taken from him, it's Eina Bershuso and he can't be Makdash it. According to the Tosfos and the Gzos, he also can't sell it. But why is it Eina Bershuso? Why is it not considered his Rishus? So that's the Machlokes between the Baal Ma'or and the Muchamas. The Baal Ma'or da'af Yir Chesman Beis, da'af Be'arif. The Baal Ma'or says, once the Nigzal has access to the Davar HaGazlan, right now he has no access to it. But once he gets access, let's say the Gazlan would call him up and say, you could have your item back, that's called Bershuso. Then he'd be able to be Makdash it. So we see that Rishus is defined by access. The Rishus is defined by, do I have the ability to gain this item? So when the Gazlan took it, the Nigzal doesn't have access to it. But once the Gazlan would even just tell him, you could have your item back, it's about, then he has access to it, so that would be called Rishus. The Mechamah says no. If the Gazlan would call up and say, take your item, that would not mean he could make it Hektish. It's more about physical control. It's not that you need access to the item, you actually need to control it. And the Divrei Yecheskel explains this machlokes. Well, what are they arguing about? One of them says you need access, one of them says you need physical control. So Divrei Yecheskel says, according to the Baal Ma'or, like we said, it's about Eina Bershuso, it's dependent on control. Do I have control over this item? Do I have access? Do I have the ability to go and retrieve this item? So once you have permission, it's Bershuso. But according to the Ramban, the deficiency of the Nigzal is not in the control, it's that the Gazlan has a Kinyan Gzela. Since the Gazlan acquired the item through a Kinyan Gzela, therefore it's about physical control. He acquired it physically with a Kinyan Gzela, and he would have to physically give it back to the Nigzal. He can't just come up and say, I revoke my Kinyan Gzela. That's not how it works. So, according to the Baal Ma'or, why is the Nigzal Eino Bershuso? Because he doesn't have control. According to the Ramban, why is it Eino Bershuso? Because the Gazlan made a Kinyan Gzela. So the Ksos applies the model of Eina Bershuso from Gazlan to Isser Hanah. That only works according to the Baal Ma'or, because the Baal Ma'or says Eina Bershuso is all about control. So therefore you can make an equation. Just like a person didn't have control in the case of Gzela, so too you don't have control in the case of Isser Hanah, because Beis Din has control because they're going to kill the Shor HaNisko. But the Ramban, who said that the Eina Bershuso of Gzela was stemming from a Kinyan Gzela, would not be able to extend that to any other case. He wouldn't be able to say that the Eina Bershuso is going to apply in the case of the Isiri Hana, because there's no Kinyan Gzela there. The Ramban said the only reason why a guy's Eina Bershuso is that the other person made a Kinyan Gzela. Over here, Beis Din didn't make a Kinyan Gzela. There's no Kinyan Gzela being made, so you would not be able to equate from Kinyan, from the Gzela case to the Hektish case. So again, the Ksos says that Isiri Hana is Shalovish Eina Bershuso, and his model is from a B'yochanan Zin of Hektish. The Gazlan and the Nigzal, Shneem Ein Yechol Na'atishin, Zelapish Ein Shalal, Zelapish Ein Bershuso. And he said, just like the Nigzal is Ein Bershuso and can't be Makdashit, so too the guy who did own the item and it's made Isiri Hana, it's Ein Bershuso and he can't sell it. And we have to substantiate two claims. One, that Hektish is the same as Mechira, and that was the Tosfos against the Rashba. And number two, we have to substantiate applying the din of the Gazlan to the din of the Isiri Hana, and that was allowed to do this by the Baal Ma'or as opposed to the Ramban. And so those are the first two parts of the Sugya. The first part, when does the Isiri Hana kick in? Machlokas, Rabbeinu Tam versus others, after Gemar Din or after death, with rise both ways. And whether you own Isiri Hana, Machlokas, Ritva, Rivid, and the Ksos answering the Ritva, answering the question from Mdal and Beis, it says, Mechari no Machor, and even though you own it, it's Shalov Hashem Bershusa. And the last part of the Sugya is answering the question of the Truma Sakri, and with this we're going to have four answers. The Truma Sakri asks a question that involves three different Gemaras. The Gemara in Krisis, Daf Chaf Dalet, says that if Adam say that an ox is a Shor HaNisko, and then they're found to be Zomimin, anyone could take this ox, because once the Nidon heard that his ox was being made into a Shor HaNisko, he was Matkir. He made a hefker, and since he made a hefker, anyone could come and take it. That's step number one. So if Adam come and say the ox is chayv misa, so someone's going to be mafker. Step number two. The Gemara in Bava Kamma Daf Yud Gimel Beis says, Nigmar Dino V'yachakach Hefker. At first it was a Gemara Din, and then someone made it Hefker. Pater. You're going to be Pater from Mamun. The owner of the ox, or the previous owner, once he makes it Hefker, is not going to have to pay money that this damage for damage that the ox caused. And Gemara number three is the Gemara in Bava Kamma Daf Tzadi, which says that if the ox is Chayev Mamun and Misa, even after we were done a Gemar Din of Misa, you could still be done a Gemar Din in Mamun. Now this Gemara must be talking about a Shor Hamuad, because if it was talking about a Tam, then once there's a Gemar Din for Misa and the ox is going to be killed, how could you pay the Mamun? Mamun has to come Migufo, and this ox doesn't have any value, it's being killed, so there's no way for us to talk about a Chiyav Mamun after the Gemar Din for Misa, unless we're talking about a Shor Hamuad, in which case the money that you're paying is not going to be coming from the ox itself, which is going to be killed, it's coming from other properties that this person has. So the Gemara says, after the Misa, after Gemar Din for Misa, we could be done the Dinei Mamunos for the Shor Hamuad. So what's the kasha? What's the kasha that everyone asks? Rabbi Akiva Eiger asked this question to Ketos. The Ketos' brother, the Trumas HaKri. The question goes as follows. We said that after the Gemar Din of Misa, you could be done on the Dinei Mamunos. But we know from Krisus that after Gemar Din of Misa, a person could be Mafkir Hashor. And we know from Bava Kamma Yud Gimel that after you're Mafkir Hashor, you're Pater from all Nezek. So how could we say that you're going to be done Dinei Mamunos after the Dinei Nefashos if we know after the Dinei Nefashos, the person was Mafkir, and once he's Mafkir, he's Pater? How is it going to be a Chiyav Mamun to pay? And that's the question of the Gemara and Daf Tzadi. Because the Gemara and Daf Tzadi says that after the Gemara Din of Misa, you're still going to be down Dinei Mamunos. But we know once there's a Gemara Din of Misa, step one, you're going to be Mafkir. And step two, if you're Mafkir, then you're Pater. So once there's Misa and you're Mafkir and you're Pater, how could we be down Dinei Mamunos? That's the question. And to this, we gave four answers. Answer number one was given by the Ketos. The Ketos says we have to take a look at this Gemara and Krisus Chavdal. The Gemara says that After the Edom were found to be Zomim, anyone could take this ox because it was made Hefker. Because once the person hears the Gemar Din, he made his ox Hefker. Now, we know from the Gemar Memdalad, Nigmar Dino Mechor Machor. You can't sell this item. You can't sell your ox once there was a Gemar Din for Misa. So how is this Baal Din making his ox Hefker after the Gemar Din? How is that possible? It's not his to do. Just like he can't sell it, he can't be mafkirit. So what must he say? That the only reason he was able to be mafkirit was that the Edom were Zomim. This ox was never actually a Shor HaNiskal. If the ox were actually a Shor HaNiskal, then you would never be able to be mafkirit. The only reason this Baal Din was able to be mafkirit was that the Edom were totally lying. It was never true in the first place that his ox was a Shor HaNiskal, and therefore he was able to be mafkirit. But in the regular case, with this Gemar Din, you would not be able to be mafkir your shor. And that's how he answers this question. Why? Because in our case in Daf Tzadi, once there's a Gemar Din, the owners don't have the power to make it Hefker. They only have the power to make it Hefker in the Edom Zomim case. In a regular case, they don't have the power to make it Hefker because, like the Ketos told, it's Shalom Hashem Bereshuso. But even though it's Shalom Hashem Bereshuso and they can't be mafkirit, they do own it to a certain extent. They own it enough that you're going to be able to don Dinei Mamunos on the ox. So again, the Ketos is using this din of Shalom Hashem Bereshuso, this status of Shalom Hashem Bereshuso, as a bridge between being yours and not yours. You have control, you have ability to do certain things, like having the ox be don for Dinei Mamunos, but you don't have the ability for other things, you don't have the ability to be mafkirit. And the only reason you're able to be mafkir, the ox after the Gemar Din increases, was because the Edom were Zomim. But in the regular case, once it's Gemar Din, you can't be mafkir the ox, and therefore, you can still be down Dinei Mamunos. Because it's Shlo Vashina Bershusa that in that you can't be mafkir, but it's still Shalo in the sense that you could collect Mamunos. That's answer number one of the Ketos. Answer number two is given by the Chassam Sofer, who says, there's a difference between Yud Gimel and Daf Tzadi. Daf Yud Gimel says that Nigmar Dina V'yachkach Hefkir, Pater. That once there's a Gemar Din, you made a Hefkir, you're Pater. And our Gemara says, after the Gemar Din, and going with Krisus, the normal way of reading Krisus, not the Ketosis way, once there's a Gemar Din, and therefore you made a Hefkir, you could still collect money. So which one is it? Could you collect the money after it was made Hefkir, or not? So the Chassam Sofer says, well, it depends. We already said before that the Gemara in Daf Sadi has to be talking about a Shor HaMoed. The Gemara in Yud Gimel, though, is talking about a Shor Tam. Why? Why would being mafgir affect whether you're chayv or pater? Because a Shor Tam is paid migufo. Since a Shor Tam has to be paid migufo, so therefore when you're mafgir it, then you don't own the ox, they're not able to collect from you anymore, because it's not yours. But the Gemara Daf Tzadi is talking about Shor HaMoed, so even if you made a hefker and you don't own the ox anymore, who cares? You could still collect from your other properties. The Chassam Sofer makes a very nice distinction between these two Gemaras, and says, yeah, even though we say Nigmar Din of Yachtach Hifkir is Pater, that's only for a Shor Tam, because you can't collect Megufo, but in Daf Tzadi, for Shor HaMoed, you would be Chayev. The Kilos Yaakov gives a similar answer, a similar distinction between Tam and Muad, that Yud Gimel is talking about Tam, and Daf Tzadi is talking about Muad, but he doesn't give the distinction of Migufo versus not Migufo. He uses a Din of Rebbe Akiva Eger that's found in Daf Hei, Amud Aleph of Maseches Makos, Megillah and Hashas, who says there's a difference between when a Chiyuv stems, when a Chiyuv comes into effect for Knas and for Mamonos. Rebbe Akiva Eger says that for Mamonos, the chiyuv comes right when you commit the crime. Right when you damage someone else's money, the chiyuv is in place. However, when it comes to a knas, the chiyuv is only created in Beis Din once there's a Gemara Din. So what does that have to do with anything? So the Gemara in Yud Gimel Amud Beis is talking about a Shor Tam. We know in Paskin that Pagan is Kaknasa. That Shor Tam, the payment for Shor Tam is a knas. And since the payment for Shor Tam is a knas, it only comes once Beis Din, once there's a Gemara Din in Beis Din. So, when we say Nigmar Din of Yachachach Pater, Nigmar Din of Yachachach Hifkir is going to allow us to say that the Chiyuv does not come into existence. And once he hears that his ox can be put on trial for Shor Niskal, he's Mafkir right away. And if he's Mafkir right away, then this Chiyuv was never in place yet. It was only in place at the Gemara Din, so it's not going to come into place. However, when it comes to the Shor HaMoed, the Chiyuv is the Chiyuv of Mamon. The Chiyuv of Mamon already takes place at the Shas, at the Shas Nezek. So if the Chiyuv takes place at the Shas Nezek, then making it Hefker is not going to work to get rid of this existing Chiyuv. It could only work to preempt, to prevent the Chiyuv coming into effect in Beis Din, but it's not going to come to eradicate the existing Chiyuv. So we have this question that we asked from a whole bit different Gemaras. We had the answer to the Ksos of Shloshin and Bershuso in funny reading of the Gemara with Edom Zomim. Then we had the Chassam Sofer and the Kilos Yaakov who make a split between Tam and Muad. So why don't others make this split? How come no one else saw what the Chassam Sofer and the Kilos Yaakov did, that one Gemara is talking about Tam and one's talking about Muad? Because there's a Shita Mikubetzes on the Gemara in Daf Yud Gimel. Shita Mikubetzes says, we know there's a Machlokas Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, where the Shor Tam is the Nizak, the guy who's collecting money, is he like a shutaf? He's like a partner in the ox that was damaged? That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Or is he like a Baal Chov? He's like a debt collector. That's according to Rabbi Yishmael. We pass him like Rabbi Akiva, that Nizak is like a shutaf. So if the Nizak is a shutaf, how does the Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis say that the Mazik, Nigmar Din of Yachach Hifkir, Pater, that the Mazik is Mafkir's ox? How could the Mazik be Mafkir the ox? He only owns half of it. The Nizak is an owner of half the shore. So the Shita Mikubetzes says, we see from this Gemara, it must be that it's only talking about a Shor Muad. It can't be talking about a Shor Tam, because if it was a Shor Tam, there would be Shutfus, and the Mazik would not be able to be Mafkir his ox. So it must be talking about a Shor Muad. So if Daf Gimel is talking about a Shor Muad, then that throws away the whole answer to the Chassam Sofer, the Kilos Yaakov. Because they both made distinctions by saying that Yud Gimel Mabez is Tam, and Sadi is talking about a Muad, and that was going to give a difference either about Migufo or not Migufo, Migufo or Minaliyah is going to matter, or the timing of when the Chiyuv HaNezek comes into effect. But if you don't make the split between Tam and Nezek, then the whole answer, Tam and Muad, the whole answer falls away, and the Shita Mikubetzes says you can't make that split because Yud Gimel Beis has to be talking about Mazik. And one more answer, which we said, was the Divrei Yecheskel, who says that the rule of Nagach V'Yachakach Nagach v'yachakach hifkir is pater. He says that only applies to Karen, but doesn't apply to Shein v'regel, and doesn't really give a svar for this. I think he reads it into the psukim, but Nagach v'yachakach hifkir is only talking about Karen, but the Gemara in Sadi is talking about Shein v'muad. By the way, I think I said earlier, like, a million times, Nigmar Dino v'yach kach hefkir, the Gemara and Yigimel, it's not Nigmar Dino, it's Nagach v'yach kach hefkir. So, if going back on the, whatever. Okay, but yeah, it's talking about a case of Nagach v'yach kach hefkir, because if it was Gemara Din, then it wouldn't make sense with the Kilas Yaakov's answer. But the animal just gored, then he made it hefkir. Sorry about that mistake. But there's the four answers of answering the string of Gemaras, which seem problematic according to the Ksos and other Achronim. And I guess that ends sikh number 30 with Shoshim Radina Atzer Be'Anah.